Hi, everyone. I'm Jenna Millie with Screenwriting U, and I'm here today with Jonathan Levine, who wrote and directed The Night Before, starring Seth Rogen, Anthony Mackie, and Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Hello.
Hey, Jonathan. So good to talk to you. I'm so excited about this movie.
You too.
Oh, my gosh.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's so funny. I screened it, and I wanted to tell everybody about it. What a great idea to do this sort of mashup of a Christmas movie with like an all-night comedy. I don't know if that's the genre you would say you use, sort of like a...
I have about 20 genres that I put it in. it's like a hangout movie. It's a fable. It's a comedy. It's a... dramedy. It's a Christmas movie. It's a lot of stuff.
Well, it's just awesome. I think you know, when you see it, you're like, oh, somebody.
It's a musical. There's music.
Yeah, there's music. So I read that this was your idea because this happened to you. You usually spend the night before a holiday hanging out with friends. Can you talk a little bit about how you...
It's inspired by something that sort of became a tradition with my friends. It was almost even an unspoken tradition. And we basically would, every Christmas Eve, would go out and get highly inebriated. And, you know, things, crazy things would happen because New York is like a very kind of... it's, you know, it's quiet on Christmas, but if you go into the right or wrong corner of the city, you'll find a little secret society of people who Christmas doesn't feel like it's really for. and so I thought that was and you know, over the course of that night, you would bond very heavily with your friends because Christmas is a time of reflection, and so that's kind of where it started.
That is so awesome. And what I love about the movie, you know, and my audience is mostly writers, and I think this sounds great as a pitch, but then once you get in there, you have to sort of play to, like you said, the idea of friends and family, and it has a lot of heart. How do you balance that with the comedy? Is that about outlining or using a structure? Can you talk about the process of, I mean, just doing it right, because that's, you guys really pulled it off, and it seems like it looks easy, but I think it's probably really tough to do that.
Well, here's what I would say is, like, if you start from the right place, it is actually easy. So, and when I say start from the right place, I don't know how much of balancing that tone comes down to the moment-to-moment minutia of writing the dialogue or structure or even anything like that. I think it's more about picking the right genre and picking the right overarching story. So when you pick a Christmas story, for example, you know, in many ways, it kind of lets you off the hook as a writer because, of course, like, the arcs are very simple. Joseph Gordon-Levitt is important, you know? Like, if we were doing a less fable approach to this thing, he wouldn't be an orphan because that's, like, you know, that's an orphan is like this Dickensian trope within which we're playing. So, you know,
did it take you a while to get that anchor, or did that, is that just what
it did? Actually, it did. And once we got it, we felt really like we cracked it, but it took us a while to, because we were like, oh, at some point he just had lost one of his parents. And then we were, you know, and then I think it was Seth's idea to say, no, he should be an orphan. Because that's like, you know, that fits into this sort of Christmas theme. And then, you know, this magical party, you know, in real life, you know, 30-year-old guys looking for parties, probably not something that would happen very often, or not even the most relatable thing. But once you get into the context of a fable, it makes sense. It becomes this kind of quest. So, honestly, picking that sort of, honestly, leaning into those tropes allows you to do so much more, and it's great in a movie like this because, as you said, the movie is so stuffed with different things that having that shorthand with the audience is really, really important because it allows you to get stuff across in a very economical way.
I think you're so right, and just to have that party in there, that is so smart because it gives them a goal, and it also creates sort of like this unicorn idea. Once you had that with Joseph Gordon-Levitt's character, then you were like off and running as far as what kind of comedy you can put in, or do you sort of plot out the scenes and then add the comedy? I don't know. Some people say they don't want to write to the joke. Can you talk a little bit about how you get these? I mean, there's so many hilarious things that happen. I was like laughing the entire time. It's just so funny. How do you get the great comedy in there?
With this movie especially, first of all, we knew that, yes, you don't want to write a joke with Anthony necessarily or with Joe, but with Seth, I mean, you need to write to the joke because he is the comic relief of the movie. And so, you know, with Seth, we were always doing that. And with everyone else, we were kind of trying to sort of keep in mind the fable and keep it pretty grounded. And then, you know, with Michael Shannon, whether you're writing to the joke or not, the inherent premise of what he's doing is funny. So it's very fertile ground for comedy, you know?
I was going to say, how did you come with this idea that, so you have Seth Rogen, you know, that's going to be comic relief. How, the Jillian Bell character, when she gives him the box of drugs, how did that, I mean, being a woman, I would, that's so funny, but I would not think of, if I'm writing a wife character, that she would do that. And that's what's so great about it is how she really twists on every idea.
I think that's something that, you know, at the same time that we were playing with intros, we also wanted to subvert a lot of them as well. And we had just felt like we'd seen that sort of, you know, the wife who is just there to, you know, to just harangue her husband and
so good.
Stop him from having fun. That's not something that any of us have in our lives. You know, we're all married to wonderful women who I wouldn't say give us drugs. But they certainly don't. You know, we have. They know when we need to let loose, and we have, you know, good relationships, and we can be ourselves. It's not like, you know.
Such a good choice.
Learned a lot. Yeah, and I think they learned on Neighbors that how allowing. Being generous and allowing women who are incredibly funny to do that, and not just making it kind of a bro situation is just great for the movie. It makes us look better. I mean, I wouldn't say the strong suit of our, you know, of the writing team is writing women. It's not. But we what I knew as a director was that, you know, if you kind of can get so many funny people in the movie and so many funny women that they can sort of fill in the blanks and give us a better understanding of their characters. If we just, as long as we give them, you know, every possible kind of opportunity to play real people and don't kind of handcuff them by giving them a script where they have to, you know, get really mad at their husband for acting crazy all night, you know? That's not the role that Jillian plays. That's not the role that any of the characters in this movie play. So it's as a writer, you know, having someone like Jillian or Mindy or Alana or Lizzie, I mean, all of whom, have very strong improvisational abilities and very strong writing abilities themselves. I mean, they're mostly all writers. It's like, it makes us look good. So that's my number one screenwriting test.
I thought it was great. Like being a woman and seeing, I was like, yes, I love all the women in here. They're so funny. And they, I just think, you know, you should do another one with just all female leads. Cause I really got a kick out of it. I went to see it with some women.
You.
Oh, you are. Okay.
Yeah.
Can you talk about that or?
That'll be cool.
Or is that,
I think I'm doing a movie with Amy Schumer. So that's, you know, There's no one funnier than her, so I think that'll be really exciting.
Oh, awesome! Well, you I mean, congrats, because I thought that was really clever. All the, you know, the way the women were written, and I mean the three guys, they just have so much fun together. What part of the writing directing do you feel like you're more drawn to? Do you really feel like you're a writer who's a director, or are you always doing both? When you're writing, you're thinking about the directing. Could you just tell me?
I go back and forth, you know. Every move is sort of, I go back and forth. Sometimes I love writing stuff that I direct. Sometimes I love directing stuff that someone else writes. You know, it's a really interesting dynamic. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, after having done something that I wrote and collaborated with these guys, now I want to do something that someone else wrote because I'm sick of my own writing. You know, it's just this kind of cyclical thing. It's always good, I think, to do both because it gives you a sort of critical distance and it allows you to kind of sharpen your skills in each particular. You know, if I'm off doing a script that someone else wrote and helping them kind of hone that script, that teaches me stuff too. And it's nice to have that critical distance. And stuff I write, of course, I love because it's from me and it's part of my personality, and it's a great chance to express yourself in that way. But I love doing both.
Do you want to stay in comedy right now? Because you've done horror, you've done drama, and then you've done comedy. What's your favorite?
Yeah,
do you like changing?
I think comedy feels really, really good to me. And really, you know, I want to do comedy that's kind of sophisticated and smart. You know, so that's great. And I think that I don't really have a sort of prescribed plan for anything, honestly. Perhaps I should, but I don't. and so, you know, now I think the next thing I'm doing is a comedy. I just did a pilot for Showtime that's a drama about comedians, which is you know, the best of both worlds. So, you know, I don't ever want to do anything that's exclusively one thing, but I do like comedy with drama.
Yeah, that's, I mean, well, I love 50-50.
Thank you.
Warm Bodies. Just to talk more about The Night Before, what is one of the scenes that you were really excited about the audience seeing? Or is there one moment where you just think, this was hard to do, but now you really pulled it off? Or, you know, you're just curious to see how the audience, I don't know if you've seen the film with an audience or how, you know, if you're looking at how the audience reacts.
We relentlessly test these things. So I've seen it with an audience probably about 15 times now.
Oh. And, what's that process like?
I mean, my favorite, it's great. I mean, it's a movie meant for an audience, you know? So it's, you know, you get such great reactions from watching with people, and people really, really respond to it. So it's like super fun, actually.
That is so awesome. Well, I can't wait to see what happens when it comes out. And thank you so much. It's been so great talking to you. I hope I get to talk to you for your Amy Schumer project too.
Me too. I'd love to. Thank you so much.
All right. Take care. Bye.
All right. Bye.